All right, I'd like to give some warnings about prayer here. If I could, just a few. There are some warnings in the Bible. And I think I might be treading here in a very personal area. Our prayer life is a personal area, I agree. And I don't mean to... I'm not trying to point a finger at your prayer life. God knows, I confess it all the time, that I'm not where I need to be in my own prayer life. I'm not a prayer warrior, brothers. But I felt like these are things that should be said, should be preached. They're in the Bible. And I want to see us all grow in our prayer life. If we're going to grow as a church, then we're going to need to grow in our prayer life. So these are some warnings that the Bible has. The first warning is be honest. Be honest in prayer. Dishonesty in prayer separates us from the reality of fellowship with God. Do you realize that? The moment you stop being honest with God, then God is a form of religion, and you're just going through a form. If you're just talking to God in a way you wouldn't talk to a friend, or wouldn't talk to somebody who was really standing there, then we're just playing games, religious games. We need to be honest with God when we're praying. When we are dishonest in prayer, it separates us from the reality of fellowship with God, and it hardens us in a ritualistic religion. And I know I've been there. I'm speaking out of experience. I know what it's like to get on my knees because I need to pray, and then you just start talking. You know, and halfway through your conscience just says, David, why don't you just be quiet for a minute? Because my heart's not awake yet. I don't even know what I've said. You don't know what you've said. So let's just be quiet for a little bit. And get real. And decide what you really want to say to God. Don't just say your prayers. Talk with God. Avoid phrases that have no meaning. Avoid phrases that have no meaning. And some of those meanings, those phrases can be good phrases. Can't they? But they get to a place in my life where I just find them tumbling off the lips when my mind is thinking about work. Does that relate to anybody? You're thinking about something else, and yet you just said the most beautiful phrase. It's just meaningless. Well, why don't we just stop right there in our prayer life and get real? Strive to say only what you mean. In prayer, how would our prayers change if we strove in our prayer to say only what we mean? Better to say 5 words from the heart with meaning than 10,000 words. Emptily. Empty words. Paul says it's better to preach 5 words where everybody understands and edifies than to speak 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. How much more if we're talking to the Most High and we don't mean what we're saying and He knows it? Maybe you've been that. I know my children do that sometimes. They'll come home and they're telling me all about my day and I'm still figuring out how I'm going to do that thing, and they're getting and what did you do today, Diane? You know, and if they were smarter, they would just catch on and we'd just stop it right there. Wait, and you get your heart home, and we can have fellowship then. And I'm afraid it's like that with God sometimes. And I'm not criticizing. I hope you know. I'm just laying out what God laid on my heart. Avoid praying to yourself. We can get into a state where we are the only ones listening to our prayers. You know, it says of the Pharisee went to the temple to pray, and he prayed unto himself thus. Prayed unto himself. And he was the only one listening. Jesus said that. Jesus said God was not listening. He prayed to Himself, and it was a wonderful prayer. I'm sure He enjoyed it. But let's avoid that. Let us get down deep with God and have time of prayer. Even if it's shorter. Even if it isn't an hour. Even if it isn't half an hour. Let's spend 5 minutes in real prayer. Maybe we need to just get quiet and wrestle with God and groan a while until we can pray. Then we need to pray believing. We need to pray believing. This has been a real fault in my own life. And so I share it with you. This is something that God has blessed me with. And that is exercising ourselves in the discipline of faith in prayer. Now when I come and I make a request to God, I'm not going to come with this hopelessness in my life anymore. I'm not going to talk to God like, well, maybe this will happen or whatnot. But I'm going to get to the place, and when I speak, the words that I'm saying are coming from my heart, and I expect that God is hearing it, and I believe that He loves me, and now that it's said, it's done. That's faith. Jesus says, whatsoever thing you ask believing, it shall be done for you. You believe that? Now, I'm not preaching cars and houses and stuff like that. What I mean is when I've got a need in my life and I just can't see my way around it, but the Bible says, Jesus says, you come to me and believe I'll take care of it and I'll take care of it. God make us strong men of prayer in that area of faith. James says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because if the man that's wavering is like that wave of the sea, tossed about by the winds. And then he says that those awesome words, don't let that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. That's a warning, isn't it? When you pray, make sure you believe what you're saying. Don't come to God without faith. Don't come to God in a hopelessness. Come to God with faith and confidence. Read your Bible for a while until you can believe it. And then pray. Praise God for prayer. All right, one more warning. Avoid vain repetition. And I would like to just be personal if I could this morning. This is a personal area. And I'd like to just make it very clear. When we pray, I'm afraid we talk sometimes to God in such a repetitious way that it's almost using the Lord's name in vain. And I know I've done it myself. I'm not condemning. But I think it needs to be preached. Jesus said, don't use vain repetition like the Gentiles do. They think if they say it a lot of times, God will hear. And Jesus says, don't be that way. When you pray, you get your prayer arranged. Say it through once. Believe that it's done, and be done. You know, if you read the prayers in the Bible, if you read through the prayers in the Bible, do a study of the prayers in the Bible, and then time yourself how long it takes to pray them. Are they long? Half-hour prayers? Even Hannah's prayer that brought about Samuel. I think you could probably pray that prayer 3 minutes, would you say? If you're slow and meaningful and groaning in it, maybe 5. Jesus, many of His prayers, 30 seconds. The one that raised Lazarus from the dead was less than that. So, let's Can we just be free to pray short prayers? Let's just say what we want to say to God and then stop. And let's fill it with faith and with hope and joy and confidence in God. I'd like to just share with you the picture I get when Jesus says, not with vain repetition as the Gentiles do. I think we all go back to Elijah in 1 Kings. Can we read that story together in 1 Kings 18? And it doesn't say that they used a lot of vain repetition, but I'm guessing they did. Oh Baal! Oh Baal! Leaping and cutting themselves. Oh Baal! Oh Baal! Hear us! Save us! All day long, leaping and jumping, it says, on the altar and gashing themselves with knives and crying out. And what on earth? It must have been hideous to hear it. All these 400 men just crying, oh Baal, oh Baal. That's how I get it. That's the picture I get. And then you have Elijah, and he's saying, what does he say there? He says, got it carried away here and didn't turn to it. 1 Kings 18. Call a little louder. Maybe he can't hear you. And so they called all a little louder. Oh Baal! This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that's about 6 o'clock, Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their hearts back again. Done. 6 seconds. 26 seconds that prayer took. And it changed the course of history in Israel. Beautiful. You know, I just see Elijah's... You know what I see in that prayer? Here's a man who's not trying to pump up a relationship with God. He knows when he talks, he's talking to God. Maybe that's our problem sometimes. It lies at the root of faith. Maybe we need to get real with God. Maybe we need to confess where we're at. I like the next story too. It says when he was praying for rain, did you notice the posture he has? Anybody notice that? It says he put his face between his knees. Can you imagine that? I don't think he was standing up either. I think he was on his knees and he had his head down in between his knees and he was closing his door. You know, he was getting earnest with God. And you know, when you're in that kind of posture, you're not thinking about everything out there. I mean, his face was between his knees. He was praying, saying, okay, God, isn't it enough? Send rain. Okay, go look. God, send rain. Go look. And I don't know, it doesn't say how long it took, but from the prayer that he has here, I don't think it was a long time. So, I would just encourage each one of us, pay attention to our prayers, can we? As we're praying, watch the words that come out of our mouth. Let's trim our prayers down to the bare essentials. Now, I'm not saying no repetition. And I didn't write it down here. I'm sorry. I didn't put the... Well, I guess it's in the 17th chapter of John. If you read the prayer of Jesus, there is repetition there. And David, King David, also uses repetition. But it is the repetition of emphasis. David uses the repetition of emphasis. Oh my God! And he may say it two or three times in his prayer. But it's not vain repetition. It's not just something he's saying. It's meaningful. It's emphasis. When Jesus says, "Oh, righteous Father," you know, that's not vain repetition. That's not using the name of Lord in vain. He's using that in an emphasizing way in his prayer, and that's okay. I say, use all of that repetition you want. But it's the vain repetition. It's the empty repetition that Jesus says, don't be like the Gentiles. God won't hear you anymore for using His name more times in a prayer. And I'm sorry, I hope you're understanding that I'm not trying to criticize your prayer life. I'm blessed by your prayers. Even, you know, I've accepted it and been blessed by many prayer meetings. But I felt this morning as I was preaching on prayer, this is a very clear teaching in the Scriptures. And I feel that this is a very real application of this teaching. Okay, I have a few admonitions to prayer then before I close here. Pray often. You know, in the Bible, prayer happens all the time. If you study it, prayer happens all the time in the Bible. You know, when a brother's sharing his struggles with you, wouldn't it be all right instead of just saying, "I'll pray for you"? Let's pray. Maybe we would pray more often for one another that way. I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, "I'll pray for that brother," and then I have a guilty feeling because I see him again and I remember his struggle and I, "Lord, I didn't remember to pray for him." Well, maybe we should just stop and pray. We don't have to pray for a half an hour together. Let's just pray and bear our hearts to God as brethren and sisters. When you're in temptation, pray. This is where the devil wants to stop you. You're in a temptation, immediately guilt comes in and says, "You shouldn't pray. You don't deserve to pray. I mean, you got to be holy to pray, and you're in this temptation." That's not true. Pray. "God, help me. This is staggering me. This is heavy. Where's the door? Help me." Enjoy and give thanks. You know, let's not forget that prayer is for thanksgiving too. It's fellowship. You know, when something goes right at work, let's give thanks. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you that that fit. I didn't even check the measurement on it, and it fits. Praise God. Thank you for watching over me there." When something goes wrong at work, let's pray about it before we start turning red in the ears and snappy with the other people in the workplace or something like that. Or in the home, sisters, you know, when things start feeling kind of chaotic and the children are out of control, can't we just stop the house and say, "Children, let's come over here to the couch and kneel down. I'd like to pray." And have a 5-minute prayer. Earnest prayer. "Lord, save our home from strife and from all the things that want to destroy us and make us a holy home." Before you leave the driveway on a trip, pray. "Okay, children, let's just stop here and ask the Lord's blessing and safety on this trip." I know something my dear wife does, and I bless her for it. Whenever the ambulance goes by, our little children say, "Daddy, let's pray. You know, somebody got hurt. Let's pray for them." My wife has instilled that, and I bless her for it. Just make prayer a thing of your life. Morning and night. I know it's not always possible to have family devotions morning and night, but it's not hard to just gather around and have a word of prayer. So in conclusion, some of us are falling short in our prayer life. That's the bottom line. Some of us are falling short in our prayer life. We're falling short when it comes time to talk to God. Our personal lives and our homes are lacking because of it. Our missions are hurting because of it. This is a time for repentance this morning. And I meant it to be that way. I hope I'm not laying a heavy law down here this morning, but if you're anything like me, this is a good time to repent of my prayerlessness. It's a time to repent and start again. This is a blessing. Repentance is a blessed thing because I can stop, repent, turn, and start afresh. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a prayer life because you don't have a relationship with God. That's a very real possibility. And trying to have a relationship, a prayer life without a relationship with God is difficult. Very difficult. Maybe you have sin in your life that is alienating you from God and stopping your prayer life. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, therefore, that ye may be counted worthy to escape all these things that are coming to pass, and be counted worthy to stand in front of the Son of Man." His admonition to the disciples comes down through the ages, and it comes to us this morning. Watch and pray, lest ye fall into temptation. He showed us the way. He taught us the way. We have no excuses. Our prayer life needs to be an effort in our life. We need to be diligent in our prayer life. I'd encourage you today. I don't know if we want to open it up this morning. I thought we'd just open it up for testimonies. I would encourage you to stand up and give a testimony today. And start afresh and new. Begin today to walk in communion with God through frequent prayer. Not just say your prayers in the morning, but a walk of prayer, a life of prayer, a relationship of prayer in your life. And do just like Jesus said this morning. Wake up. Why sleepest thou? Arise and pray. Well, God bless each one of you.
Yes, brother, I want to join with you in hearing and receiving that message. And I also want to wake up, you know, not just in the morning, but all during the day, and rise up and pray. There's something about the day as you go along that kind of wants to hold you to its course and keep you, I don't know if down's the right word, but I'll use that word, instead of rising up and praying. So I receive that and I repent that I don't pray frequently. I think you used that word, be frequent prayers, I think you said. That's right. You know, wherever we are, whether it's at business or family situations or church situations here. Amen. Amen. That's good. We need that. I appreciate the simple truth of God's Word given to us on such an essential thing as prayer. You know, it's not hard, is it? It's not something you gotta go home and study a long time and figure out, is it? We just need to repent and do it, don't we? May God give us the grace to do that and the faith. It does take faith, as He mentioned. Amen. Well, let's maybe open it up and you can raise your hand if you have something you want to share to either add the message or maybe a testimony of repentance or just sharing where you're at, need encouragement, need prayer. You raise your hand and we'll get a microphone to you. There's one over here, one over there.
praise the Lord for this service this morning. It's so refreshing.
Amen.
Toward the end of the week, the Lord is drawing me back. I want to confess that I was walking away from God and feeling very discouraged and listening to the lies and some of those things again. And toward the end of the week, the Lord started showing me where I was at, and I just bless God for His faithfulness. And this is a balm of Gilead this morning, because God is faithful, and
Amen.
Because I'm justified in Him, there is a place of prayer. There is a place of rest and quietness at His throne and at His feet. And I revel in that this morning, and determine by His grace to cease from sin and learn to love and to do well in from Isaiah. And I would just covet your prayers. I thank God that He loves us. He loves me. Thank God this morning that because He loves us, He sends chastisements. He says He does in Revelation. And I want to bless God for that this morning, that I'm His child, and because I'm His child, He spanks me, and I love Him. Thank you.
Amen. I just wanted to share. Satan is an adversary to us, and we're going through a lot of things in our home, and so many times I'll say, well, I don't have time to pray. God has enlightened me in the last few weeks that time is nothing to God. You know, He has all the time. He knows. And I've taken 30 seconds here and 30 seconds there. It says in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. I have found that to be such a joy and such a uplifting thing, just to take those burdens off your shoulders every minute of the day. Don't wait. I found that to be so true. But Satan is still there. You don't have time to pray. Well, I appreciated what David said. You know, it's not an hour prayer that makes the difference. It's the continuous prayer. It's the continuous mindset on the Lord Jesus Christ that He's there. And I just wanted to share that I found myself lacking so many times because I let that discourager, that deceiver, that accuser say, you don't have time to pray. I pray that you would all find the time to pray. And thank you for your prayers for our family and our home. God bless you all.
Amen. God bless you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, David, for that exhortation on prayer this morning. I need that for myself. Especially as you talked about through the day, I guess by nature I fix things with a welder and a torch, and that's kind of my livelihood, been all my life, to just fix things and kind of naturally. And you know, when it comes to the spiritual things, and it doesn't work that way. And I tend to do the same thing sometimes, try and fix it in my own strength. And I want to receive that challenge to just cry out to God more. I know sometimes it is a practice that I do occasionally when I lose something and find myself being frustrated, not being able to find it, a tool or whatever. And I have a lot to do, and sometimes I just ask God, well, you know where it is. And it is amazing many times how God does help us when we do cry out like that. And I can testify to that. If sometimes I searched so long and finally just got down and prayed about it, and it's amazing how soon I think God's trying to tell me something in those times, perhaps too, to lean on Him and cry out. So I thank for the message this morning.
This morning I was crying out to God about the dryness of my prayer life, and I just feel like I want to bless God today for giving that encouragement. Thank you, Brother David, for listening. And God is amazing. He obviously was giving you a message before I even cried out about it. I thank Him for that. But also in the service this morning, I was struck to remember some verses that had been laid on my heart about 3 weeks ago or so. And I think maybe if I'd have been a little more careful with what God wanted to say to me, maybe it would have that would have prevented some dryness, perhaps. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Brother Dean this morning brought out that Jesus Christ, because of Christ, we can have fellowship with God. And what an amazing thing that God has given to us, and that we would cast it away in not praying, in not bringing our heart to God. He's given us fellowship with Him. That's what Jesus Christ did for us, was to give us fellowship with God. And I stand here and just confess that I haven't taken advantage of that fellowship the way that I should. I can remember times in the past when I have taken advantage of that fellowship and had that vibrant time of prayer with God, and then amen to praying without ceasing. That comes automatically. That comes all the time. And I, by God's grace, I want to return to that, walking as Brother Lawrence just shared, even in losing something, even in the times of frustrations at work, even in the times, as Brother Marty shared, of needs at home, sick children. That all flows out of that taking advantage of that fellowship that God has given. And I stand here this morning and I just desire that I would have that greater fellowship, and I ask for your prayers, and determine that I will. And amen, brother. When it comes to fasting, I know part of where I failed in that was that I've stopped fasting sleep as much as I used to. And so, by His grace, I'll do that too. So thank you for the message.
Yes, I just, first of all, ask forgiveness from the church for my negligence this morning, getting here an hour 20 minutes late. And also thank Brother David for that message. That was a real encouragement and a help, and I know one of the things that I've struggled with the most in that is the spirit of hopelessness when you've been struggling with something and you're praying about it. But it's true, our actions speak louder than words, and even if we want to tell ourselves we have some theological faith that He'll help us, we ought to pray with the spirit of that we do indeed believe that He will. And I just thank you for that. That was a great encouragement, and God bless you.
Amen. And a hand over here on the sister's side. Arthur, down front here.
The Lord has really been pressing on my heart in the last months the burden of learning to pray. And I just want to confess to the brothers and sisters here that I'm not where I should be when it comes to prayer. But I long to go on with the Lord in this area. And I just wanted you all to know that I'm not where I should be in. And I also want to share with you all, I'd like you to pray for me. I'm going to Manitoba this next week to be with my family some, and I'm trembling a bit. But I just desperately long that my parents would see Christ in their children. And so I ask for your prayers. Thank you.
Yeah, I praise God for the message this morning too, Brother David. Thank you for letting God speak through you. Something that I really need in my life. God has been speaking to me for a long time in my life that that's an area that I'm not being faithful to Him. I'm not praying enough. And one thing that really challenged me that you brought out is when Peter went up to the rooftop to pray when supper wasn't ready yet. And many times I find myself wasting those minutes or that half an hour before lunch or whatever it may be in just sitting around and doing nothing when I could be going and praying to God or doing some reading the Word or something. And I'm just want to ask your forgiveness and pray for me that I would see the greater need and what a power there is in prayer. And I know the power there, but I don't believe it in my heart. Because if we would believe it in our heart that prayer is so powerful, we would pray. But I feel we all know it in our minds, but we don't know it in our hearts. And I want just y'all pray for me that I could know it in my heart and that I will be more prayerful. God bless you.
Oh, I know some of y'all, and for those of y'all that don't know me, I'm Daniel Byler, and I'm staying with the Livies right now. I'm from Ohio. And I also would just like to thank God for the message this morning. It ministered to my heart tremendously, and it also convicted me. And also, God bless you, Brother Dean, for your honesty. I know that those confessions are hard, and I'd like to make the same confession that in that area of gluttony, and also it goes into the area of prayer and many other areas in my life where I am not disciplined enough as a Christian. And God especially spoke to me about that area in my prayer life this morning. And I bless God for that. I know what it's like to pray in faith. I have had that in the past, and those are blessed, exciting times. But it's not that real to me right now, and I do ask your prayers. I want to come to God knowing that I'm going to receive what I ask of Him, because I'm asking according to His will, and I believe Him. And even more than that, it honors God, and it makes Him happy when we do that. I desire that. I want to walk with God.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. I think we'll go on from there. Why don't we bow our heads and just pray for those that ask for prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank You this morning for Your Word. And we do thank You for Your faithfulness to us, Lord. What a blessing we have being here. What a joy we have. Oh, Father, may we see these things more real with spiritual eyes. We do pray for all those that ask for prayer in this area of their life. And Father, we know You forgive them, and so do we. Father, we also pray for the burdens that are expressed. Especially we know that Davina is going to Manitoba, like she said, and both of her parents are lost. Even though her father is a preacher in a Hutterite colony, he does not know God. He's not born again. Oh, Father, she trembles, and we all tremble at the thought of going up there and spending several weeks and trying to be a witness when you're received harshly. And I don't know how to do all those things, Father, but I pray You'd give her grace and give her wisdom and give her love and fill her full of Your heart and let her be a daughter of prayer of Yours these next few weeks especially, to walk carefully and circumspectly during this time. And help us pray for her.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.